This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Brian Naylor in Washington. Neil Conan is away. As you probably know, Cirque du Soleil is not your average circus. There are no traditional clowns, and in lieu of animals, remarkable displays of the human body. During the show Kidam, which is now in Washington, one performer is hurled into the air to rest on the shoulders of three others. The crowd gasps and collectively holds its breath. At one point, an acrobat descends from the ceiling coiled around red silk. A man jumps rope inside of a jump rope inside of a jump rope. A live band adds suspense, and in the midst of all this, there's a plot. Today we'll talk to two of the people who helped bring this performance to life. If you have seen Kidam or other Cirque du Soleil performances, what drew you in? Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, Michelle Higgins, the New York Times practical traveler, gives advice for flying with kids over the holidays. But first, Cirque du Soleil. Mark Ward has performed with Cirque since 1993. He's been in over 6,000 shows. Wow. And in Kidam, he plays John. And he's here with us today in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, there is a plot to Kidam. What's the story about?
Kidam actually means anonymous passerby, but the storyline, it's a thin storyline. We don't want to force-feed you the story. We want to leave you some room for imagination, your own thoughts. But it's the journey of a little girl. She's being neglected by her parents, and she's all alone by herself, and she hears a knock at the door. She opens the door. A headless man enters. He drops his hat, and she picks it up, and it transforms her into the world of Kidam.
And adventures ensue from there.
Exactly.
And your character, John, is sort of a ringmaster, but not really a ringmaster in the traditional
sense.
Yeah,
in a Cirque du Soleil kind of way. Definitely a guide. Probably the closest to the public that we have on stage other than the clown. I'm someone that you can relate to.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time in makeup? You don't have a whole lot on, I guess, a traditional...
I have the most of anyone, actually.
Oh, all right.
It takes me about 2 hours every day to put that on every day. So,
wow.
Yes.
I guess I was just thinking about the hair thing, but that's...
That's 30 minutes for that alone.
And tell us a little bit about how you got involved in Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, I was still dancing classical ballet at the time, in 1993, and I received a call from the choreographer at the time looking for an acrobatic... person with dance capabilities as well, and I've been with them for almost 18 and a half years now.
So you didn't have a desire as a little boy to run off and join the circus. You got into it in a different way.
Exactly. I wanted to dance for sure, but I substituted that with sports, and I had no idea what Cirque du Soleil was. And of course, when I was hired, I went there and saw all the people from around the world, and I was just blown away.
Yeah, you are one of the only Americans in the cast, at least in the cast in Washington. Is that difficult or fun or?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, we have 54 artists representing 18 countries, so we just about include everyone, and it's definitely a big melting pot.
Have you been in other shows, other Cirque shows?
Yes, I was in Mystère for 5 years as an original member, as an acrobat and a dancer.
And so you've pretty much always been sort of an acrobat and a dancer.
Yes. I'm also a classical pianist as well. So,
let's also take some calls from our listeners. First, we'll go to Patty from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Patty, I understand that you used to be a cast member of Cirque yourself.
Oh no!
Oh no! Okay. Well, I read that wrong. I'm sorry?
I'm a huge fan. I've seen Mystère twice, and I saw Caw this summer and a couple of the other shows, and I absolutely love, most importantly, I think, their interaction with the audience.
Yeah. I noticed there was a lot of that in the performance I saw last night. Were you called up onto stage?
Oh, no. I'm honestly floored at how they make people think that some people are audience members that are interacting, and they're really not. That always throws me for a loop.
All right.
The average Joe sitting there, and they bring him out, and it turns out that he's an actor. It's so cool.
All right. Well, thanks very much. How do you decide who you bring up onto the stage with you?
You have to be very aware. You can't just pick anyone.
And these aren't ringers. These are
actual people from the audience. But you have to look for someone that is willing, but not overly willing, not too afraid, because it can go wrong. And it's one of the parts that we are not in control.
Yeah.
When this happens, we are in the public's hands. So you have to be very selective.
And it's very improvisational, obviously.
It's all improvisational, yes.
And what happens when you get someone who's kind of a clunker?
That's where your improvisational skills really come into play.
There's not a lot of dialogue in the shows. Hardly any, really.
All the Cirque shows, we use what we call gibberish. They're made up language. And it's very funny because some people say, oh, that's French, that's German, that's Russian. It's actually nothing. But some of the songs we do use actual languages, especially on the CDs and things like that. But in the actual show, mostly it's gibberish.
I was wondering that. I was thinking maybe it's Esperanto or something. I couldn't quite grab the thread there. But you've been with Cirque since 1993, as you said. Do most performers stay that long?
Not quite that long, but there are a few that have stayed actually longer. It depends on the individual, but I could say probably 2 years or more, but that's up to the artist.
Do you find, as you travel around the country and on tour, are there cities that are more receptive to Cirque than others?
I wouldn't say receptive. I just think that as an artist and the show, we have to be adaptable. What works in Japan may not work here in Washington. The reactions could be different. For instance, in Japan, they won't applaud, but they love it. And you won't know that until the very end. You're thinking during the show, oh, they hate me. And at the very end, they stand up and they clap. Whereas here, they'll let you know right away that they're enjoying the show.
And are there times when you wish that you could, be doing something, maybe flying through the air, or are you pretty much happy doing the ringmaster role?
Well, I did my flying through the air. I still fly through the air. I was an acrobat, contortionist, ball walker, Japanese taiko jumps player for 5 years, a competitive gymnast and dancer before that. So I'm pretty much enjoying it all.
How does one get training on all of these different roles?
Well, the great thing about Cirque du Soleil, if you're willing to learn something, they will teach you that. That's what happened with me. I came as a dancer and acrobat, but I learned the other skills because they taught me.
All right. Let's take a call now from Don from Pensacola, Florida. Don, thanks very much for joining us. Have you been to Cirque du Soleil?
Well, I wanted to say that, as I told the young lady when I first called, unfortunately, I lost my wife a year ago, August the 6th, but we were happily married for 15 years, and one of the things we did in 15 years was to go to Alegria.
All right.
And that is a circus, mm-hmm. Okay. And it was marvelous. It was fabulous. You could be crying with happiness one moment and then busting out laughing in the next second. And the action, the thrill, everything about it just pulled the audience right into the stage. I mean, you literally felt yourself leaving your seat and joining them on stage. It was so awesome. I mean, it was, wow.
Almost leaves you speechless, huh?
Yeah, it was just one of those. Unfortunately, our language is so limited that you can't come up with a word that would describe Cirque du Soleil.
All right. Well, it sounds like a satisfied customer, Don. Thanks very much for joining us. I'd like to bring into the conversation now Fabrice Lamere, who is the artistic director for Kidam. He's responsible for making sure that all 52 performers, singers, dancers, musicians are ready to go for every show. He's also with us here in Studio 3A. And Fabrice, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
What do you do during the show? Are you you're off stage someplace?
During the show, I can be in the audience watching, taking notes. I can be backstage, be supportive of the cast and making last minutes and last moment adjustment. But most of the time, I'll be watching the show from the front and move around the audience, make sure I can see different things, different night.
Do you find a different every night? Is a different performance?
It's a different show every night, yes, yeah. Mostly for me. And what keeps the show alive is because we have this extraordinary collaboration with the performers, and I will actually try to trigger this moment where one day I may be talking about technical things, and then we talk about something more artistic, and I will try to actually go backstage and ask for these things to be developed while performing and while respecting the content, of course. So I'm looking at different things every night. So my experience for sure is different. I'm sure the performer's experience is different as well. And the audience member, at the end of the day, might not look at the same thing also. So
it's not just different nights, performers are maybe a little bit more on than other nights, but I mean there are actual changes in the show.
We try to deliver the same high quality show every night, but we, you know, they're human beings. They come in through the day, and when they walk through that space, I can tell you which one's going to have a bad day, and then what we do is that we talk and we find a solution. Can I let this performer go on stage or not that night? All of them want to go on stage, but sometimes I may have to actually pull a performer and put a backup act because of a condition, a physical condition, or something else.
One of the really fun acts at the beginning of the show is the German wheel. It looks like a kind of a giant hamster wheel almost, and there's an acrobat twirling and doing almost like break dancing. Seems like he's defying gravity.
He is, and actually, for me, just my interpretation of the character is a little bit of an extension of the character of Mark. Is this kind of a shaman who comes in and takes you on that journey, and that wheel feeling is really like this tornado who keeps turning and spinning around and takes you within that journey of that young girl.
We're talking with two of the people behind Cirque du Soleil's Kidam. The show is now in Washington, D.C. If you've seen Kidam or other Cirque du Soleil performances, what drew you in? 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Brian Naylor, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Brian Naylor. There are circuses with clown cars and elephants and tigers, and then there is Cirque du Soleil. We're talking today about the show Kidam. It's been described as a spectacle with dance and acrobatics, bodies contort and combine, and behind it all, there's a story of a young girl looking for the meaning of life. Mark Ward plays John in Kidam, and Fabrice Lemire serves as the show's artistic director. If you've seen Kidam or other Cirque du Soleil performances, what drew you in? Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. And let's first turn to a caller. Mary from Farmington, Michigan is with us. Thanks for calling.
Hi, my name is Mary, and thanks for taking my phone call. I just have a quick question. I had seen a show in Las Vegas for Cirque du Soleil, and unfortunately, during the show, one of the performers on the satin cloth had fallen from a very high distance, and they had canceled the rest of the show, and it really got stuck in my head, and I wanted to know, what do you guys do to make sure that the performers are safe?
All right, good question. Thank you, Mary. Fabrice, there is most of the performing is going on without a net. How do you ensure the safety of the performers?
The performers are highly trained, highly qualified for what they do, and of course we will not put a performer on stage can take risks. So what we do is that during the training session, during the formation, there is expert in all level to supervise the process, and everything is really, really taking under the microscope. So when you see a final product on stage, it's because everything has been thought and well thought and processed, so we will not take risk. And these performers also don't have a chance for a mistake. So this is when I go back to my idea of the communication. It's very important for me, as an artistic director, to be present and to talk with them. If I feel there's a doubt, if I feel there is maybe just a bad day of a performance, I will not put that performance in risk and put him on stage. There's many shows, there is many nights with Kidam, they said, and we do not see accidents. There will be injuries. like any other sport and high level. But what we do is that we make sure that the supervision is there at all time, and we will not take a risk when there is one.
How do you find the acts that perform in Kidam or in any of the Cirque du Soleil shows?
Some people create something and they present it to the company. We have a casting division back in Montreal, and you can offer your expertise. You come in with an apparatus, you come in with an idea and you present it, and sometimes it's already well polished and all together, or some other time it's actually somebody within the company will come up with an idea and is looking for people willing to try. And you do a workshop, you do some kind of exploration together, and you come up with a product.
The one act I was thinking of, the Chinese Diablos, four young women who do the magical things with a couple of sticks and some string and what look like giant yo-yos.
They are yo-yos, yes.
And now, is that something that they had developed and said, here, let's give us a shot? Or?
It's part of the traditional circus elements that they have, and what we have done with Kidam right now, I'm backtracking a little bit here. We used to have young girls for that in the big top. They were 11, 12, 13 years old. And the formula of this yo-yo, the pattern was a lot more upright. So it's a lot of tosses in the air. Mm-hmm. What we develop with your new team is a lot more on the spiral. So we're actually moving a bit more. We're pushing the envelope a little further with the technicality of it, because we can, and they're willing to try, and they're actually doing a great job with it.
I want to read an email that we got from Elizabeth in Madison, Wisconsin. She writes, I was so inspired after seeing the Beatles Love in Las Vegas that I immediately began taking both high and low flying trapeze lessons. and in fact, you know, I've noticed in Washington last summer, there was a vacant lot downtown, and there were people offering trapeze lessons. And I'm wondering if you've spawned a whole new interest in America.
It's possible. I think what you see is that, you know, yes, the shows are very inspiring, and people see this, and they, first of all, they are amazed, and they are like, oh, why, I cannot do this. And then actually they are curious and they want to explore. And what we have is that there is a link within the company. While you're interested, you just go to that link and you actually can present your ideas to the company. And it might not work for Kidam, but it might be actually down the line an exciting idea for a brand new production within the company.
And Mark, that's what you did with your act. You've proposed different things.
Yes, for me, actually, I was lucky enough to receive a call, and I sent in a videotape, and they hired me from that videotape. But Cirque du Soleil also has quite a few outreach programs, like this lady who decided to take the trapeze lessons. We have a thing called Cirque du Monde, where we help kids out, and we teach them circus arts. So that's the good thing about Cirque du Soleil. If you're willing to learn, they're probably willing to teach you.
And Mark, I have to ask you, as an African American, is your circus experience different? I mean, traditionally, there are not a lot of African American circus performers. Is it easy to fit in with a group like Cirque du Soleil that is so diverse already?
Yeah, actually, there is one other. Basically, all African American Universal Soul Circus, which has been around for many years, which is an awesome, awesome company. But for Cirque du Soleil, like I said, it was a big melting pot for me. I never felt it wasn't any different from me being an African American artist. It was just a way of expressing myself and being hired. So it was definitely a great opportunity.
Let's take a call now. Michael joins us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have seen just about every Cirque du Soleil show. There's a few I haven't seen. My parents just went to see Love, and they're 80 years old and loved it. mm-hmm. But it's just amazing. It's hard to come up with the words to describe what Cirque du Soleil is, but they're really an amazing example of extraordinary performance art that draws you into almost an alternate reality and definitely an envelope pushing reality when you're in a Cirque du Soleil performance. I saw Ka in Las Vegas, and it was just I had to keep pushing my chin up because my mouth was hanging open when 14 different performers or something like that were shooting arrows at the stage and people on the stage were dodging those arrows as the whole stage lifts up and comes out over the audience. It just, it blows your mind. And they get a lot of my entertainment dollar, that's for sure. And it's just, we have a, just one more quick thing. We have a, I think one of those training schools here in St. Paul, Cirque Juventus, which is, I've gone to a couple of their performances, and you see these young kids doing these amazing circus performances at that young age, and we're lucky enough to have something like that right in our community.
Michael, thanks very much for calling. Fabrice, I'm wondering, you were laughing when he was talking about the arrows flying around on stage in the performance car. There are a lot of repeat customers, clearly, people who have seen one of your shows and come back. Is there a certain Cirque du Soleil it's basically there's a sort of technique that seems to be throughout all of the different Cirque shows.
Well, you always will have the wow factor with the technique, like with all the tricks, the high level of acrobatics, and then I think they will try to be an their own identity. So they will have a plot, a theme, which might be just a very easy line to follow. And then after that, you develop around the theme. So there's a group of creators who put this together and come up. What we'll see sometimes is we know what's working. You know, there is some acts, like I'm thinking just up top of my head, a hand-to-hand act, which is quite stunning. And this will be place in Kidam and then some other shows because we know the impact on the audience, the slow motion, the control between these two individual male and female, and the well-balanced couple. So that is his formulas, which will work, and then we'll reuse it again.
A sensibility, that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain sensibility to these shows in terms of what the costumes are and the acts, and also the music is pretty distinct. And let me take in a call here from Lisa in Milwaukee. Lisa, you're a fan of the music at Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, I saw Kidam here in Milwaukee just recently, but my first experience was 16 years ago seeing Alegria, and I was enthralled by the band and the music, and I've seen as many performances as I can, not just for the visuals, but because the music is so beautiful and it's so moving.
Fabrice, is the music all composed originally for the productions?
Absolutely. Actually, everything was created together. And going back to the music, is that what I love about Benoit Jutras' composition is that it's really like him. He is influenced by classical, by rocks, by everything. And he put all of this together. And he had such a very strong sensibility and strong relationship and collaboration with Franco Dragone when they created it together. Then you can feel it today again. I also believe, and I am just talking again on top of my head, but looking at archives and notes from Franco, is that to keep a show alive for 15 years is that it's because you allow your performers, so your musicians, to bring something to the palette. So it's not an archive, it's not at all like an old piece when you put on a museum. The show stays alive because it's get influenced by the generation we get involved within the show. It can be musicians, can be the performers, the directors, and so on.
Steve joins us now on Talk of the Nation. Steve from Richmond, California. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. This is an honor. I love Cirque. My wife and I go all the time, and I'm a musician, and my question is about the music because that's one of the major attractions for us. How much do the musicians or does the band have to improvise, you know, and go along with the performances? And I've also always wondered, do they play with a click track? Because if a drummer rolled into the song too quickly, you know, it could be disastrous.
And those are good questions. Fabrice, how about that?
Actually, I also will pass the
to me.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I have an answer to that too, but I'm going to let Mark.
Yes. As you know, it's all the shows are live, and the music is done specifically for that act, but of course things can happen. So depending on the song, we have a band leader for every single show, and sometimes there's a click, and these are professional musicians, and they're able to improvise and be ready to change on a dime. Like all the shows, we have 21 shows all together and all distinctive music, all distinctive artists, and that's what makes it work because everyone is so in tune and ready for anything to happen to make this show work.
And, Mark, I'm just wondering, as the sort of the ringmaster mm-hmm. in this performance, does it come to you to – do you have any – do you set the pace at all for the show?
Many times I can, because if something happens, I am usually the first one on stage to try to pick something up or to keep things going. So we definitely have to be ready to move and be aware of what's happening on around us, not just what you're doing, but what's happening on the entire stage.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go now to Kathy in St. Paul. You've seen the Cirque performance of Love, is it?
Yeah, the Beatles in Love out in Las Vegas.
And what are your thoughts? Do you like it?
I loved it. You know, I wasn't a huge Cirque du Soleil fan because I would see them on TV, and quite honestly, what I saw on TV, they're magic, what they do. It just, you know, it's so much better live. It's just incredible. And the Beatles in Love is the best show I've ever seen of any show. Of any kind, rock music, whatever. It was incredible, and I just wanted to encourage your listeners, if you love Beatle music, go and see the Beatles in Love.
All right, Kathy, thanks very much. Now, I understand not only the Beatles, but there's also now a performance, a show featuring the music of Michael Jackson.
Correct.
And what I'm wondering, something like this, do you start with a, you know, as the artistic director, perhaps you're dealing with a show, Kidam, that is well established. But when it comes to developing a new show, do the creators start with a kind of a blank piece of paper, or do they have some ideas of acts they'd want to work in? How does that work?
They do. And I think what you have is that you have a vision of one person, and he brings to the table that vision, and he shares this vision with other creator, lighting, costume, set designers, and so on. It's very important during this process, and all of them kind of really sink in and, first of all, listen to each other and work closely so nothing crashes. I think the harmony in Kidam is very much of a residual of that. You can see 15 years later, and then that collaboration was so strong from the start that the product, the final product, is very rich and just beautiful. The idea, and sometimes it's very simple, and sometimes actually a creator will not know what is going to accomplish, and he discovered within the process. So you just have a simple plot and then move with it. And then a lot of time what happens is that actually you change direction. Okay, this is not where I want to go. Let me drift it again this way, and let's explore this again, and we take a different road. That happened too. But you got to have an idea to start with something.
Mm-hmm. And in constructing the show, there are, it seems, different levels almost. There's a level where, Mark, you perform on the ring itself. Mm-hmm. There's often a level that's one level up with acrobats twirling and tosses. And then there's the high wire folks, as it were.
Aerial.
Mm-hmm. Aerial, yeah.
Absolutely.
And is that how do you construct these shows with that sort of structure in mind?
I think it's important to have this idea in mind. I mean, this is what Cirque is well known for. So you want to really explore every single aspect and every single places within your space and you are given.
And Mark, just finally, I'm wondering what you would like to do next. Do you like being the ringmaster playing John? Is there something else that you've got in mind one day that you'd like to perform on the Cirque stage?
Well, I'm still really enjoying myself. That's why I do what I do after almost 19 years. I've done pretty much all of it, but I just remain open, and right now John works for me, so I'm enjoying it.
And is it physically demanding to be out there for what? This is a 5-night run, I guess, in Washington.
Yes, I mean, of course, it's not as physically demanding as it was for me being a dancer and an acrobat, but being the principal character, it sometimes becomes more mentally exhausting. But at the same time, it keeps you fresh because you have to be able to adapt and change.
We've been speaking with Mark Ward. He plays the character John in the Cirque du Soleil production of Kidam, and which is on a North American tour. He joined us in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Fabrice Lumiere, who is the artistic director of Kidam, also in Studio 3A. Thanks very much, Fabrice.
Thank you.
Coming up, kids on airplanes. The Practical Traveler joins us with some advice for parents and other travelers on how to survive the busy holiday travel season. I'm Brian Naylor. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.